I want you to look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 1. I'll read just a couple of verses here, and then I'm going to have you to turn to the book of Luke, and we'll read there as well this morning. But first of all, look in Matthew chapter 1 at verse number 21, Luke 1 and verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then if you would mind, just look back a little bit and over into chapter 2 and look at verse 21 there, verse 21 in chapter number 2. And listen to what it said. "And he arose," Matthew chapter 2, I got the right one. Verse 25 in chapter 1. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Can you say that name with me? Jesus. They called his name Jesus. There's no other name like that name. It's a name that's used today in other countries sometime. But that name Jesus is a unique name. It's a blessed name. Now turn over to the book of Luke. Let's read similar statements. But look in chapter 1 and verse 31 in the book of Luke. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And then again in this same book, look in chapter 2 and in verse number 21. And notice what it says in that passage of scripture as well. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angels before he was conceived in the womb." His name is Jesus. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing this morning, the congregational hymns and the carols that we've sung together. And Lord, for the specials this morning, thank you for this great number that's come out on this Christmas Eve to worship you and to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and to acknowledge that we love you. Thank you for coming and dying that we might have everlasting life. I thank you for family. Thank you, our Father, the blessed privilege of having our families together as we celebrate the birth of the Lord, and there's joy in our homes because of Jesus. And Father, I want to thank you for this church family. What a blessing it is to gather with those who know him and fellowship and worship him. And Lord, all of our services are wonderful. But God, to be here this month with all the wonderful singing, our heart rings yet with the songs that were sung, the specials and the carols that we've sung. Thank you for Brad and the choir going into the community and into the hospital and nursing homes through this month, Lord, in singing and being a blessing and carrying that wonderful message that for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And God, I pray right now that God, you'd make him real to me and real to all those that are gathered. Lord, I do love this time of the year. I love the lights and all the singing and all the fellowship and the food and being with family and with church family. And our Father, we honor you and thank you. None of that would be possible without you. Many of us, our Father, would have been dead already had it not been for the grace of God, that God, you saved us. Lord, I thank you for that. And the reason we are so blessed is all of our blessings come through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our needs have been met in the name of Jesus. Every prayer we've ever prayed that was answered was because we prayed in Jesus' name. And Lord, we go out in victory in his name, the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God, help us today. Lord, bless in these few moments, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that name, don't you? Jesus. Jesus. I thank the Lord for the good songs that are sung about him and the times that we've heard people preach about him. But to know him personally as Jesus, you know, that's his name that he chose. He identified himself quite often as the Son of Man because he identified with mankind. His name's also called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God who created everything, fashioned everything, wanted to be with us. And so he clothed himself in a human body and came and suffered and bled and died that we might have life. And then by the person of the Holy Spirit of God, he comes into our heart. If you've been here for any length of time, many years ago, I'm not sure why, but as I am asked to help to do a funeral service, I like to take the person's name and make what's called an acrostic out of it and let every letter mean something. Now, in the Hebrew language, that is especially true. Every letter in the name of Jesus, although we see it here in English, translated from Greek, but in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the letters have particular meanings. I won't go into all that this morning, but just a few little things, so very simple, that God laid on my heart as I thought about this Christmas Eve service. I usually do this when somebody dies. I don't think I've ever done it to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll notice, the name Jesus has five letters in it, and to me that's special. It's the number of grace. He was grace incarnate. Brother Tim preached a message some time ago called Grace Has a Face, and it's the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's unmerited favor, Him given to us what we do not deserve. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But when I think about the letter J in the name of Jesus, I think about a verse in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 26, where it says that He might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is our justifier. It means this, that you and I who were lost and we were unquestionably guilty. The Bible said that God hath concluded all, the Word of God and the law has concluded all under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wage of sin for every person is death. But the wonderful thing about Jesus' grace is this, that He suffered and bled and died for us that we might be justified. And in theological terms, there's a long way to explain all of that, but in layman's terms that I can understand, it means just as if we've never sinned. In other words, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to Him, He is just and the justifier. Now, what's that mean, He's just and the justifier? It means just, it means He is in perfect alignment with the law. He's not violated any of God's commandments, any of God's restrictions of law. He's not bypassed any of God's judgment on sin. He didn't wipe my sin under the carpet. He didn't wipe yours under the carpet. He hadn't ignored any of our sin. He's just. What's that mean? It means that every sin I've ever committed, every sin you've ever been committed, that God has executed His judgment on that sin. The only thing is this, He didn't do it on me. He didn't do it on you. He did it on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the judgment of God on sin for me and you was poured out at Calvary. And so God is just. He didn't ignore our sin. He judged our sin in the person of Christ and He paid the sin debt. But now He is the justifier, which means that not only has He executed completely and fully and to every extent of the law and fulfilled every requirement, but for those who were guilty, He now justifies them just as if they've never sinned. Think about that. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have opportunity to be just as if you've never sinned. Not only in the matter of guilt, but in the matter of sweet fellowship. God doesn't treat us like we're sinners once we're saved. We are called children. We are His children, and He treats us as children. He loves us. And you know, the amazing thing about a holy God is He chooses to remember our sins against us no more. It's just exactly like we never broke His heart. It's just exactly like we never broke his commandment. It's just like we never had disobeyed him, that we had never dishonored him. And he treats us like we were absolutely as pure as his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's joy at Christmas time, to know that Jesus is our justifier. But also, I think about this, it is that word joy. Matter of fact, I was going to preach on joy all week long. I had it in my heart, and I had the joy, and I was going to preach on joy. Joy born in Bethlehem. Oh, listen, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. And my friend, Jesus gives us joy. He gives us that joy and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And if you want to have real joy in your life, you won't find it in money, you won't find it in education, you won't find it in social standing, you won't find it in sexual sin, you won't find it in drugs or alcohol. If you want to find joy, joy is in Jesus, and you can have it this morning. But also think about it, the J is judge. The Bible says that God hath committed all judgment to the Son. One of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is judge. You'll have to give an answer to him. And he said, the words that I speak unto you, they'll judge you in the last day. You'll have to give an account, not what Baptists believe or what other people believe, but according to what the Word of God says. You'll be judged according to the Word of God by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat and at the white throne if you don't know Christ. My dear friend, he is judge. But let me hasten on this morning. The letter E in the name of Jesus is this. He is eternal. He is eternal. He's always been. Jesus didn't begin in Bethlehem. He had a human body fashioned for him, and he came and indwelt that body. But Jesus is eternal. He was God with God the Father and God the Son before the creation of the world. Matter of fact, it says that there was nothing made that was not made by him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator. He is the eternal God. But now, can I say to you, he came of a lowly birth. He came and enclosed himself in a human body. And he cried out in an Old Testament passage, I'm a worm and not a man. That worm that's spoken of there was a worm that was called the crimson worm. That worm was taken and it was crushed. And through that, the blood of that little innocent worm, they made a dye. And it was a royal color. It was a scarlet red, brilliant color that they used. And Jesus came and said, I'm like a worm. I'm talking about the God who made everything. When he put himself in a human body, it's like me and you being in a human body, in the body of a little lowly worm, and having all of our conscious thought, knowing who we are, knowing where we came from, and yet we're there like a little worm. We can't walk like we used to walk, run like we used to walk, sing like we used to sing, play like we used to. We're in that body. And that God clothed his son in that human, in that body. But he said that body's like that little crimson worm. When they crush this rose of Sharon, there'll come forth an elixir, and it'll be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will cleanse you from all sin. And thank God, listen, he is the enclosed. He was enclosed in a human body. But can I say, when I think about the letter E, I also think about he is now exalted. The Bible said God has given him a name which is above every name. And there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. He is exalted. He's seated at the right hand of the Father now, waiting till all of his enemies become his footstool. The first S in his name reminds me of what's said in the scriptures. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I'm thankful that God saved me from my sin, from the penalty of my sin, and from the power of sin, and one day totally from the presence of sin. But not only is that, but there's a uniqueness about him. I got ahead of myself there. But here's something very special about him. He is sovereign. That means that nobody don't tell him anything. He can do like he wants to. He's sovereign. Nobody told him how tall to make a giraffe. Nobody told him how big to make an elephant. He fashioned everything, spoke everything to existence just like he wanted it. He created all of this creation and all of its special species and everything else. He made it all. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign. He's sovereign in his rule. That you may think the devil's got the upper hand, but he's on a long chain right now. But he's not doing anything that God and the Lord Jesus Christ not allowed him to do. And he'll keep him from you. If you'll submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He's sovereign. But at the same time, that infinite sovereign God has a simplicity about him. You remember when Paul said one time that God, who spoiled you from the simplicity that is in Christ? It's so simple. Some preachers are afraid of preaching what they call simple sermons. I love what Dr. J. Vernon McGee used to say. He said, we need to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so we can all understand it. But this King James Bible is written that way for every one of us so that everybody can understand the simplicity of the gospel and of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple. He loved you and died for you. He was buried, rose again, and he said he'll save you. Then let me hurry on the letter U. He is unique from anything and anybody else in all the world. People talk about comparing apples and oranges. There's nobody to compare him to. He was unique in his birth, unique in his life, unique in his rule, unique in his death. He released his own spirit. When he decided it was time to die, he just dismissed his spirit. He died. Nobody ever died like he died. He just died. But listen, he's unique in his resurrection and in his reign. He is unique. There's nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. But then can I say to you that he's unswerving in his promises. You can believe every promise he ever made you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is not only that, but he is unchanging. He's the same today and yesterday, today, and forever. He's always unchanging. He's always loving. He's always merciful. He's always kind. He's always there for you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The last S in his name, it reminded me of this, what the psalmist said, he is my salvation, he is my strength, and he is my song. The joy we have today at Christmas Eve is the joy of Jesus living inside of us. He is our song. We sing about him, we rejoice in him, and thank God he is our shepherd. He'll never, ever leave us or forsake us. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have anything to fear. He'll be with us. But can I say to you the letter S, the last thing I thought about, he is our soon coming King. He came one time, according to the Word of God. Every Bible prophecy about his birth was filled explicitly, not one detail out, not one missed quote. It was all just like he said. And he's coming back again, just like he said in the scriptures. And he's coming soon. I am thankful today we celebrate that name which is above every name, that wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? My friend, Brother Aver Rogers, who's been in heaven a long time now, was a unique man. He was a blessed man. A wonderful man of God, a great Bible expositor, a dear friend, a prayer warrior, great confidant that you could talk to him about anything. And he was just a very special man. And he had a unique song that was his favorite song. I never had even heard it until Brother Avery told me about it. People often ask people, what's your favorite Bible verse or what's your favorite song? He said, my favorite song is this, My Plea. I never had seen the song, never heard of the song. But it simply is a song that expresses this thought. When I stand at the end of my life before the Lord Jesus Christ, what will be my plea? My plea will be Jesus. My plea is Jesus. I have nothing else to cling to. To whom shall we go? He has the word of life. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so I'd like to ask you in the media audience and in the building this morning, as you exchange gifts today and tomorrow, maybe with your family and friends, have you received that greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ? He that hath Christ hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Jesus is our salvation. Do you have Jesus? Does he live inside of you? Have you accepted that gift? Probably at your home or your grandma's home or your friend's home or your family member, you'll go places where there'll be gifts wrapped and perhaps there's one there with your name on it. To so-and-so from so-and-so. You didn't know about it. You didn't know they're buying it. You don't know what's in it. But you know one thing for sure, it's got your name on it. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ on Calvary bought and paid for you the greatest gift of all? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's got your name all over it, but you have to receive it. You have to accept it.